Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
Good afternoon. It's Wendy Snyder, and I am sitting in for John Williams today, and it's the Wintrust Business Lunch. We will begin with Mary Tobias on the line with us right now. Mary is a Chicago chef and holistic health coach. She got her degree in culinary arts from Kendall College. She's worked for Top Chef, Stephanie Izard's Girl and the Goat. Mary, my first question to you today, first of all, hello.
Hi. How are you, Wendy?
I'm great. I love to cook. I know my way around the kitchen, but is it culinary or culinary?
It's culinary.
All right, good. Because I've heard people, you know, say culinary, and I'm like, you're just trying to sound intelligent. It's culinary. All right. So you, first of all, you're a holistic coach. Can you explain a little of what that is?
Yes, definitely. I took a holistic health coaching program through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition. So really it's learning about mindfulness and mindfulness while eating, and also just about functional foods and how to incorporate whole foods into your diet that nourish your body, essentially.
And it is definitely true that processed foods, although tasty, really do have an addictive quality, don't they?
Totally.
Why didn't they tell us that? It's like when I quit, I used to smoke. I quit smoking, so that's good. But, I mean, they didn't tell you you'd be addicted. They didn't tell you you'd be addicted to junk food. You need to eat better. I know that. So tell us about the Lincoln Cafe and Market. We can go there, we can eat better, and it'll taste better, too.
Yes. So the Lincoln Cafe and Market, it is a coffee, espresso, cafe, and market. And basically our whole goal is to focus on locally made foods. And we source all of our ingredients locally by either small Chicago businesses or vegan companies. And the goal there is really just to create a space for people to come and enjoy actually healthy food that doesn't have any chemicals or preservatives, while also supporting our local Chicago food makers.
Do you think people don't eat healthy because they think it's not going to taste good? Because I do think there's some fear involved where people go, I'm not going to be a vegan. It doesn't taste good. You can't get enough protein. It's fear that is making people not enjoy this food, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, I'm not vegan, but I think that vegan food can also be very delicious. And that's kind of like our whole goal here, is to introduce people to different styles of eating that are healthy. And also, you know, there's an option for everyone. We have vegan food, we have gluten-free food, we have non-vegan food, and just experimenting with it is a beautiful thing that people should be more excited to do.
All right. So when did you guys open?
We opened just about 2 months ago. I was actually looking for a production space for my vegan ice cream company, and we found this cute little cafe and decided to do both.
Well, that's pretty sweet. What's the address? Lincoln Cafe and Market. What's the address?
It's 3720 North Lincoln Avenue. And we have food ready to eat, but we also have packaged goods made by a lot of local women-owned businesses as well that people can grab and go.
All right. That is the key to success lately, because you're a chef. You know what you're doing. I just like to cook, and I am so darn sick of coming up with ideas for dinners, honest to God. So to be able to come into Lincoln Cafe and Market and do a grab and go, what are some of the selections there?
So we have some of Carolyn's Crisp cookie crackers. We have a locally made tahini. We have pastries that were locally made, and gluten-free and dairy-free like muffins that were locally made. We also have some beet jerky, which is kind of a cool new veggie jerky that's on the market.
So you said beet. It's not beef jerky. It's B-E-E-T as in Tom. Beet.
B-E-E-T. Yes, exactly. So yeah, there's a ton of options. We have chili oils, we have fermented foods. So there's a wide variety, and then we have a vegan ice cream bars like Glow Superfood. And there's just a wide selection. There's something for everyone, and it's all either healthy or locally made or both.
All right. And Glow Superfood is, you're the entrepreneur behind that. What is Glow Superfood?
So Glow Superfood is a vegan frozen dessert company, and I started this about 2 years ago. And we're the first ice cream company to include functional ingredients in our ice cream. So there's actually a blend of mushrooms and adaptogens that all are functional, meaning they all serve a holistic health purpose. And they come in a popsicle-style stick, so you can just grab them and go as well. And now that it's summertime, it's it's just about the time for everyone to come pick it up.
All right, I'm still intrigued by the beet jerky because I love beets with a little red wine vinegar and blue cheese and red onions. Does it beet jerky taste like beet? Because I would love it.
Yeah, kind of. There's several different flavors that we actually carry. There's a teriyaki and then a sesame, and basically it's just dehydrated beets. And then there's a plain salt and pepper version, which tastes the most like beets, so you would probably love that one.
Excellent. I will stop by. It is Lincoln Cafe and Market, 3720 North Lincoln. It is so very nice to talk to you, Mary Tobias.
Nice to talk to you, Wendy. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Do you have a website people can check out?
Yes, LincolnCafeAndMarket.com, and then also GlowSuperfood.com.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thanks, Wendy. You too.
I have been checking out CNET.com for years and years and years. Anytime I need to purchase something, I look for reviews. And we have a senior reporter from CNET on with us right now, Bree Fowler. How are you, Bree?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. I am kind of a gadget girl, and I love tech stuff, and I love space. And the SpaceX Starship rocket launched. It was a historic test, and it was kind of a historic failure, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I don't think it's really fair to call it a failure. They kind of said from the get-go that anything after liftoff would just kind of be icing on the cake because it's a test flight, and it actually flew for a full 4 minutes before it exploded.
All right. Now, it wasn't obviously no one was on board. Now, so it seemed, how much did this cost?
You know, who knows? We're talking about Elon Musk here and SpaceX, and this is not a NASA flight. This is kind of their own thing. But, you know, it was supposed to be the largest and the most powerful rocket ever built. And, you know, something like this is a work in progress. You know, they really tried to temper expectations before takeoff. It's not a huge surprise that it did not reach, you know, the heights that it had kind of shot for, so to speak, from the beginning.
I can't stop watching the video if you want to know the truth. It's just fascinating to me. And Elon Musk is in cahoots with NASA on this stuff, right?
Right. I mean, the idea is that, you know, space exploration will become more private and more funded and things like that. And, you know, it just kind of opens the door for more people to get involved. I mean, we've all kind of been watching these on TV, whether it's Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk. There is kind of a soap opera quality to it. Mm-hmm. But then... then again, it is science and space. And, you know, I remember as a little kid getting very excited to see NASA, space shuttle launches. And we just really don't have that anymore.
I know. That really was cool. As a kid, I went to Cape Canaveral while there was a launch. I mean, I'm kind of nerdy when it comes to things like that. I think it's pretty cool. All right. Speaking of things that are not cool in my book. So I have a check mark on Twitter and I don't tweet as much as I should. And since I am a broadcaster, I was able to get the blue check mark, but I'm not going to pay for it. And I really don't want it to go away. What in the world is happening with these check marks?
Well, allegedly, Elon Musk will be doing away with yours and mine and any of the legacy check marks. Basically, anyone who was somewhat notable, possibly, you know, people in the media, celebrities, the media overwhelmingly, which, you know, a lot of media has been leaving Twitter over a variety of issues recently. They're not paying for it. I'm not definitely going to pay for it.
I know. And, you know, I Bree Fowler's on the line with us, senior reporter over at CNET. To be perfectly honest with you, what I love about that legacy blue check mark, and you can click on someone's information and it'll say whether or not it's legacy or they paid for it. But if we're trying to book guests and we want to make sure it's a legit celebrity, that's what I love those check marks for. And without those, I mean, I'm going to be booking Seth Rogen and I'm going to get some dude who is just has his laugh, you know?
Right. I mean, and that was the whole point, was that you could, that the average person could look at Twitter and know that it's a legitimate celebrity or that it's, you know,
it's verified.
A legitimate news source. And that's very important. And I think when that goes away, you know, the only good thing about it is we're going to be able to see who actually paid for this. But, you know, I think for the average user, it's going to make it a lot harder to figure out, you know, who legitimate people are. And, you know, it's not just that, you know, the news kind of issues, it's going to open people up to scams.
Yeah.
Maybe someone impersonates a celebrity and asks for money or donations for a charity or something like that. And people give because they think it's real. I mean, that is definitely something that we're going to see happen.
All right. Well, I'm not looking forward to that. I don't know why, but I am not a Snapchat person. The only reason I set up an account is because my niece puts cute little videos of her kids on there and I just watch them. That's all I do with Snapchat. What's going on with Snapchat AI?
Yeah, this is definitely a generational thing because I don't do it either. But my 13-year-old daughter is very, very into this, mainly for cute little videos. But they are jumping on the AI bandwagon. I mean, everyone has their own AI chatbot, their own version of ChatGPT, stuff like that now. It's how tech companies are kind of trying to stay relevant. And Snapchat's AI, which they're calling My AI, is a ChatGPT-based tool. It launched earlier this year as part of their paid service, but now they're going to be rolling it out for everybody. And it takes the visual appearance of a persona. It has a Bitmoji avatar, which is basically like a little cartoon person. Mm-hmm. And the conversations show up in the same way that chats would appear on the app. Basically, it lets people get information in text form, you know, responses to images that they send. Eventually, it's going to send AI-generated images, too, in response to your actual images. They've also promised that this is going to be age appropriate, which is important for me as a parent and for a lot of other people out there, because it does have such a young user base. But in practice, it really hasn't said how this is going to happen.
Well, cool. Thanks for clearing that stuff up. Always a pleasure to talk to someone from CNET. Nice to meet you, Bree.
Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Carl Prouty is on the line with us right now, the technologist at Apt Electronics in Glenview. How are you, Carl?
Hi, Wendy. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. I love TVs. I really do. And we're going to talk about some cool products that you have chosen. And we're also going to talk about your teaming up with Old Orchard Mall to do some recycling for Earth Day. So thank you so much for that. Where do you want to start?
So why don't we start with the TVs? Since it's, I mean, despite the weather today, it is starting to get a little bit nicer outside.
Yes, it is. This is an outdoor television. God, I want it so badly. I want everything on this list. In fact, this is like my Christmas list.
Right. Yeah, mine too. So the Samsung makes one called the Terrace, and this is one, it can be, they make versions for full sun applications and partial sun applications, so you do have to make sure you're getting the right one, but it's designed to be outdoors, and with the weather getting nicer, people are going to want to spend more time in their backyards, and you know, having a TV out there is a great way to sort of, you know, just relax a little bit more. And these are smart TVs too, so they have those apps built in. So as long as you're Wi-Fi signal is strong. You can stream your Netflix, your Prime Video, Hulu, all that stuff, and just kind of watch the game, sit outside and relax. I'm a Sox fan, so I'd be watching the Sox game outside, but any Cubs fans out there, you know, I suppose you could do the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm with you on the Sox. I have a friend who, in fact, I have a friend, a niece, many people do this. You get a projector and you can hook it up to your iPhone and then you get a screen and you can watch stuff outside. My friend does that in the fall for football games, but it's not great. It's not a great picture. So this you can accommodate for the sunshine, because that's what I'm excited about, getting a good picture outside.
Exactly. So that's where these really shine, is that they're so bright and they come in up to 75 inches. So you don't have to sacrifice a huge screen. Now the 75 inch model is they get up there in cost, but it's there and it's available. So you can have a large screen to really get the best quality picture on.
Yeah, bigger is better. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I don't care what they say in TVs anyway. And then, so LG has this, is it OLED or OLED? I know what it is. I just don't know how to say it.
You can say it either way. OLED, OLED, it stands for organic light emitting diode. That's just the long way to say it. But they're just, on an LED TV, you have a bunch of little lights behind it. With an OLED, every pixel is its own light. So it just has excellent control over what it's showing on the screen, the way it brightens things in one spot and darkens things in another. And because each one of those pixels can completely turn off, you get awesome black levels on those, which just make everything else look even better.
And I have, what is it with kids in their like 20s who like love video games? And I'll be honest with you, I kind of do too, and I'm a little older than 20.
I'm a terrible gamer. My 16-year-old son would agree, because he loves video games.
Yeah.
But these TVs, a lot of newer TVs, but this one specifically is great for gaming on. You can use things like variable refresh rates, which is important. It prevents screen tearing. This is really techie, so it's not really it's not for everybody.
Right.
But it prevents screen tearing, and then you can play games at 4K at 120 hertz, so they're going to move really smoothly across the screen, and you're going to be able to see lots of little details that you could miss otherwise, which helps if you're actually good at video games. Me, not so much.
Yeah, I don't need all that, but my kids would love it. What about some audio things? What's going on in the world of audio? New speakers?
Yeah, the exciting one for me, I love Sonos. It's basically a wireless speaker brand, and you can put them all throughout your house, and you control them from an app on your phone. And they just released kind of a newer version of my favorite one of their speakers. It's called the Era 300, and it's a smaller speaker. You can put it on. It fits pretty well everywhere because of the size.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds incredible, and it works with something called spatial audio. So you can basically feel like you're sitting at the concert. You're hearing sounds from above you. You're hearing sounds from beside you. And it's just a really neat experience out of this relatively small speaker. And they're super versatile. You can make a stereo pair out of two of them. You can use them as surround speakers if you have a compatible Sonos soundbar. So you can just use them in a bunch of different ways, and they just sound amazing.
Do you have to be a technical wizard to set it up?
Not at all. That's the best part about it, is I could give one of these to my dad, who my family can agree is very not technologically savvy, and he would be able to set it up. So it's one of those things where you can feel confident if you give it as a gift, whoever you're giving it to will be able to use it within 5 minutes.
All right, Carl Prouty on the line with us, Apt Electronics in Glenview. He's the technologist. Now, in with the new, out with the old. I'm sure we have old stuff that we need to recycle. To be perfectly honest with you, my husband's been driving around with a 35-inch TV in the back of his Toyota Highlander, because Goodwill doesn't take them anymore, and you can recycle TVs, but you have to pay for TVs. But there are other acceptable items. Why don't you tell us what you're doing with Westfield Old Orchard?
Right. So, yes, this coming Saturday, the 22nd, from 10 to 3, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're going to have one of our recycling trucks set up there, so you can bring in a lot of that old, the smaller stuff that's just kind of sitting around that you don't know what to do with. So you can bring an old DVD player, a VHS player, bring your old camcorders, computers, just all that small stuff, even small appliances. You can bring all that stuff to our truck at the Westfield Old Orchard, and we'll take it and we recycle it. We have a recycling facility at our store, and we recycle up to about 17 million pounds of material per year.
Wow!
So it's a great way to kind of do something good with your old product. And we do accept TVs. We're not taking them on that truck because of space purposes, but you can bring a TV to the store to recycle. That's really the only thing that there's a charge for, and they're between $20 and $75 depending on the style of TV and the size. But because Nowhere takes them, it's a great way to get rid of it for a small fee, and then it's recycled responsibly.
I know, and that's like we were cleaning out the basement. We found so many old cable boxes, some old receivers, and it's like, what do you do with them? This is the perfect thing to do and recycle for Earth Day, right?
Absolutely.
All right, I got to send him over there because we got to get that TV out of the back of his car. I mean, honestly, Goodwill does not accept him anymore, and with good reason. I mean, it works, but it's old, so we're going to go to Apt. Good news, bad news. When you get all your appliances, when you move into your house 25 years ago, you get them all from Apt and everything's in great shape. But then 25 years, they all were purchased at the same time. They're pretty soon going to start breaking down at the same time, aren't they?
That seems to be what generally happens. But we've got lots of great salespeople here that can get you a great deal on them, and they'll get you set up with all the right stuff that you need.
Yeah, our dishwasher went first, so we got ourselves a nice little Bosch from Apt Electronics, and I think a refrigerator's next. I'm going to try and scatter it as best I can.
That's a good way to go. That's actually exactly the same thing I did. I bought a Bosch dishwasher, too. I love them.
Oh, my God, they're so quiet. And it actually cleans dishes. The one we had when we moved in, I didn't know dishes could get so clean. Who knew?
It's incredible, right?
It is. Carl, such a pleasure to talk to you. And what's the website to send people to?
So our website is just apt.com, ABT.com. And then we have a tab on there at the very bottom that says Green Initiatives if you want to check out any of that stuff. But just take a look around the site. We've got awesome deals on our products. We've got super knowledgeable salespeople to help out. We've got a live chat feature if you wanted to talk to somebody online. Or you can call in the store, too, if you have any questions.
Excellent. Good to talk to you, Carl. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much.
Carl Prouty, the technologist at Apt Electronics in Glenview. I'm Wendy Snyder, and this is Steve Grzanich.
Portillo's is alleging illegal actions by union workers in the April 13th election at its food production center in Addison. The company wants the National Labor Relations Board to hold a new election and investigate. Portillo's says it has firsthand testimony and affidavits from witnesses alleging union representatives made promises in exchange for yes votes, including a pathway to citizenship with green cards to workers. There's an effort to block Baxter from selling its 101-acre property in north suburban Deerfield to Bridge Industrial. A group has generated more than 1,000 signatures hoping to prevent the sale. They claim the new development there will lead to added truck traffic and environmental issues. The group estimates the new complex would lead to 600 semi-trucks coming and going every day. A deal between Baxter and Bridge International for the property still hasn't been finalized. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And Steve Alexander with your Business of Food.
Thank you, and let's begin with a cartoon character out of the past.
I hate Mrs. Doofus!
You think you know who that is? I will tell you later, and also what it has to do with the business of food. Right now, we are sponsored by the Chevy Silverado HD. Experience your life in HD. Visit ChevyDriveChicago.com. Warmer weather makes me think of fresh out of the field sweet corn, and I know we've got a ways to go, but we have some of the best sweet corn in the country right around here. We've been telling you for decades about the Mirai corn perfected by Twin Garden Farms in Harvard, and just up the road at Piscataway Gardens, Jenny Kinney and her family are carrying on that tradition. Jenny says their first planting of Mirai is going to be Monday, with ears ready to go by mid-July. Oh, by the way, they're having a big Earth Day celebration at the farm near Harvard, Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Meanwhile, in Kankakee, another well-known corn grower, Dave Wolf, is here with some good news.
Yes, I am. We got our first planting of sweet corn planted April 10th.
When's it going to be ready, Dave?
We're probably looking at 10th, 11th of July.
Cannot wait. I also wanted to have Dave on to talk about the risks of farming. There's always something threatening their business. Weather is usually the big one, but every now and then, there is something really odd.
February 15th, 2 o'clock in the morning, I had a EMT beating on my door saying my farm was on fire.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, mouse chewing on wires in a pickup started the fire. And
a mouse?
Yep. You know, you park the truck in the, from the fall, you know, you park it in the shed, roll the windows up, and mouse gets in there and starts a nest. And all of a sudden, a couple of wires arc and poof.
I'll be darned.
I lost all my farm, all my machinery, 11 tractors, combines, all my vegetable equipment.
Wow. All because of that darn mouse.
Yep.
Which is where this comes in.
I hate Mrs. the Goofers!
Mr. Jinx, the cat, always getting bested by the Mises, Pixie and Dixie, and I think we can understand if Dave hates Mises to pieces right now. But the thing about farmers, they are resilient. And back from the ashes, Dave's on-farm farm stand near Kankakee will be open, selling corn and other veggies and fruit, and you can find him on Facebook at Wolfie's Farm Stand. That's Wolfie with a U. From the farm to your belly, today's National Cheddar Fries Day, it's National Pineapple Upside Down Cake Day, and it's National Lima Bean Respect Day. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
And I'm not going to get down on Gen Zers or Millennials, but they are doing things a little different when it comes to money rules. And joining us right now is Senior Industry Analyst for Bankrate.com, Ted Rossman. Ted, how are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right. May I just start by saying, over the years, I have talked to people and I have mentioned that my husband and I have separate checking accounts. And some people go, yeah, so do we. And other people are like, what? You don't put your money together? First of all, is it okay to have separate accounts?
It is. In fact, it's increasingly common. A lot of people like this so-called yours, mine, and ours school of budgeting, where maybe you have some money combined for joint expenses, but then you each have your own account for your own independent purposes. We actually found in our survey that only 26% of Gen Zers and only 33% of millennials completely combine their finances with their significant other. 45% of Gen Xers and 50% of boomers do so. But like I said, a lot of people have this yours, mine, and ours kind of approach.
And it's kind of, you know, it's just, hey, the bills, you can you give me $600 for this? It's like, you know, that's how we do it. But I think that changed since the 50s because, you know, women are working, we have our own money, and we don't want to ask our husbands, hey, could I have money for lunch today and five pairs of shoes?
I think that's true. I think also the fact that people are getting married later also
yes.
plays into this, that you know you get more established in your own ways. And you know one thing we want to guard against are the secrets. That's a problem when it's a secret. That was something else that we found, is that young adults are much more likely to be keeping financial secrets than older people. 63% of Gen Zers are either engaging in secret spending or keeping a secret bank account or credit card account or secret debt. That's a big issue to me. But as long as you agree on the parameters, you know, with these separate accounts, as long as you and your spouse know, okay, X percent or X dollars from every paycheck is mine and mine alone, and then you get the same thing, that can work, but the secrets are harmful.
All right. I don't keep secrets from my husband at all, ever. But I have a friend who was getting some work done on his house or her house. And she said, you know, to the contractor, tell my husband it was $500 less than it was. Does that count as keeping a secret?
It could. Yeah. I mean, the threshold is different for different people. But yeah, secret spending is actually the most common form of what we call financial infidelity. Interestingly, young adults are the most likely to be doing it, and they're also the most likely to say it's worse than physical cheating. So there's actually this real breach of trust, I think, that can go on. My view is that it's better to be honest about these things. A lot of people are not great about talking about money, but I think the more we can get in that habit, the better. And also, don't view a budget as a denial kind of tool, but rather you're working towards something. So frame it that way. Yeah, you might be giving up something in the near term, but if it's to afford something that you really want in the long term, like buying a house or sending your kids to college or taking a great vacation, then maybe it feels more palatable. Make sure to carve some fun money out along the way, too. You don't want to totally deny yourself.
No, you definitely have to have fun. That is definitely it. Ted Rossman on the line with us, senior industry analyst for Bankrate.com. Now, you mentioned that a lot of Gen Zers and millennials are getting, they're delaying milestone events. They're getting married later, maybe pushing back having children. But what about buying homes? Are they pushing that back too?
There's a trend among young adults of buying homes before they're married, which actually makes me kind of nervous. I mean, I know married couples can split up too, but in the case of divorce, there's a very organized process for division of assets. Realtor.com found that 41% of 18 to 34-year-olds have bought a home with somebody they're not married to. I think you need to be careful in that instance. What happens to the mortgage? What happens, you know, somebody going to buy the other one out, or are you going to sell it and split the proceeds if the relationship doesn't work out? I don't want to assume the worst, but I think you do need to make sure these bases are covered, because it is kind of a unique situation when you're buying a home before marriage, and it does seem increasingly common.
Unless you're buying it on your own, I think that's a great idea, to be honest with you.
That could be, yeah. I mean, homeownership is a great way to build wealth. We know it's hard to enter the housing market these days because it's very expensive and there's not much inventory. But, you know, yeah, that's another thing where if you can afford it, maybe that insulates you against future rent increases. You know, it's an asset that hopefully builds value over the long haul. So, yeah, I'm definitely a believer in that.
All right. And years ago when, you know, us older folk were dating, we would, you know, see what our interests were, but we never really needed to check someone's credit score before we dated them. What about Gen Zers and millennials?
They definitely want to know these details. It's funny. I don't know if it's a first date topic, but it seems like it's an early in the relationship topic, because we found that about 4 in 10 U.S. adults said that knowing someone's credit score would impact their interest in dating that person. That includes 50% of women and 35% of men. Older millennials were actually the most likely to say that credit scores would impact their dating habits. So I think for a lot of people, this is a measure of responsibility. And it is something, kind of to the earlier point about having conversations about money, you don't need to bear all your financial details on the first or second date, but it is important to share some of the general parameters, I think, about where you've been and where you want to go with money.
All right. So the key takeaway here is communicate and talk about it, and don't lie. Don't keep financial secrets. Would that be it?
I think that's a good way to encapsulate it. Yeah, I think especially those secrets can be really harmful. And just being more open and communicative, both about the near term, kind of the block and tackle, what needs to get done this month, versus those money values and aspirations. I think that's what's really important and gets people pulling in the same direction, hopefully, rather than fighting about money.
Good advice. Ted, thank you so much for your thoughts. We appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.